Hello. Okay, just a note that this service is being recorded. Also, if people are willing to move to the front to make space in the back for latecomers, this is much appreciated, and I see that mostly that people are in the front. So welcome, good morning everybody, and welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. My name's Mary Mullen, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers. I've been a member of the Prairie community since 1980, which is a long time ago, and I've held quite a few positions at Prairie in the past, including president. I'm the Archives Committee Chair now, and I did serve on the Widening the Circle of Concern Committee. And I'm a founder of the Marlboro Community Garden in 1970, and the garden's now in its 52nd year. Prairie aspires to be both an open-hearted and open-minded congregation. We strive to be welcoming to all, though we recognize that we all have biases that limit our understanding of how others may perceive us and how we may perceive others. We stumble in our efforts, but we commit to keep trying to grow our ability to love people of every ethnic and religious background, whatever your color, sexual orientation, gender identity, family structure, age, or abilities. Oh, let's have the prelude. Sorry about that. That should have been a little earlier. Miles and Kira will do Listen to the Ducks Go Quack, Quack, Quack. Thank you. And I noticed that Kira was using two mallets. So our service next Sunday will be hosted by UW-Madison's Badger Talks, and we'll hear from The War in Ukraine by Yoshiko Herrera. And see the paper order of service or the email copy of it for additional announcements. Our opening music is number 21, For the Beauty of the Earth. It's in the big gray hymn book, which should be below the seat in front of you, and hopefully there's some in the front for those in the front seat. So please stand as we sing. Thank you. chalice lighting will be given by Barb Park, who's co-presenting with me today.
We light this chalice for gardens and the community of gardeners, however they come together.
It's time for the story of for all ages. We welcome adults as well as kids to come forward. It'll be shown on the screen today. And it's one of my favorite books, The Story, The Diary of a Worm, and the actual book is on top of the piano there. After the story, we'll sing the kids out, and the lyrics are in the order of service. It takes a while for that screen to come down.
Pictures by Harry Bliss, a Scholastic Incorporated book. March 20th. Mom says there are three things I should always remember. The earth gives us everything we need. When we dig tunnels, we help take care of the earth. And never bother Daddy when he's eating the newspaper. March 29th. Today I tried to teach Spider how to dig. First, all of his legs got stuck. Then he swallowed a bunch of dirt. Tomorrow he's going to teach me how to walk upside down.
Who's ready to hatch some cool pets? Click here to make your very own monster on adaptive.
March 30th. Worms cannot walk upside down. April 4th. Fishing season started today. We all dug deeper. April 10th. It rained all night and the ground was soaked. We spent the entire day on the sidewalk. Hopscotch is a very dangerous game. April 15th. I forgot my lunch today. I got so hungry that I ate my homework. My teacher made me write, "I will not eat my homework," 10 times. When I was finished, I ate that too. April 20th. I snuck up on some kids in the park today. They didn't hear me coming. I wiggled up right between them and they screamed. I love when they do that. May 1st. Grandpa taught us that good manners are very important. So today I said, "Good morning," to the first ant I saw. There were 600 more of them in line. I stood there all day. May 8th. Had the worst nightmare last night. Giant birds playing hopscotch. Mom says I have to stop eating so much garbage right before I go to bed. May 15th. I got into a fight with Spider today. He told me you need legs to be cool. Then he ran. I couldn't keep up. Maybe he's right. May 16th. I made Spider laugh so hard he fell out of his tree. Who needs legs? Last night I went to the school dance. You put your head in, you put your head out. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself about. That's all we could do. June 5th. Today we made macaroni necklaces in art class. I brought mine home and we ate it for dinner. June 15th. My older sister thinks she's so pretty. I told her that no matter how much time she spends looking in the mirror, her face will always look just like her rear end. Spider thought that was really funny. Mom did not. July 4th. When I grow up, I want to be a Secret Service agent. Spider says I will have to be very careful because the president might step on me by mistake. It's a dangerous job, I told him, but someone's got to do it. July 28th. Three things I don't like about being a worm. I can't chew gum. I can't have a dog. And all that homework. July 29th. Three good things about being a worm. I never have to go to the dentist. I never get in trouble for tracking mud through the house, and I never have to take a bath. August 1st. It's not always easy being a worm. We're very small, and sometimes people forget that we're even here. But like Mom always says, the earth never forgets we're here.
Okay, let's sing the children out.
If you run your way, may you be filled with gladness. Go enjoy. May fortune bless your day with peace and loving kindness. Go in love, go in love.
Kathy Converse will do our first reading.
Seven Major Benefits of Community Gardening by the LA Garden Council. First, beautifying the landscape. Two, making fresh produce accessible. Three, promoting healthier lifestyles. Four, cleaning up the environment. Five, building stronger communities. Six, opportunities for learning. And seven, relieving stress and increasing wellness.
We'll now have a moment of silent meditation. So, is my speaker on? Oh, okay. So, formal good morning to everyone again. How about a few gardening jokes to start off today's remarks on gardening? I've got the first one.
You're going to do introduction of speakers.
Oh, I have to do the introduction of speakers first. I already introduced myself, but Barbara Park is my co-presenter today. She's been a gardener in Marlboro Garden since 2014. She's going on her ninth year. She's also a master gardener, and she's a board member of the Madison Area Master Gardeners Association. She's been a member of the Prairie Community since 1978, which is a couple years longer than me. And she's also held many positions at Prairie, including president, and she's currently our choir director. So, joke number one. I stood in my garden early yesterday morning wondering where the sun had gone. Then it dawned on me. Well, that could be Barbara, because she's always there long before I am. Sometimes I just can't get there till the heat of the afternoon.
I like to be there in the cool of the morning. What is the gardener's favorite novel? War and Peace. Peas. There's something to that. In the garden, it's war on weeds, and pick those peas.
Why couldn't the gardener plant any flowers? He hadn't botany. You got it.
I was really impressed by the gardener I saw the other day. He was outstanding in his field. We see that every day in Marlboro Garden. When weeding, the best way to make sure that you're removing a weed and it's not a valuable plant is to pull it out. Yeah. If it comes out easily, it was a valuable plant. I do that sometimes.
Okay, what do rabbits say before feasting on your garden? Let us pray. And I can tell you, in Marlboro Garden, it's we gardeners who are praying that the rabbits and the voles won't decimate our every plant we've got. And we have to either fence our gardens or lose our plants. So anyway, Barbara and I want to talk today about community gardens in Madison, but more particular about how Marlboro Garden, the community garden that's right in this neighborhood, right over there, has become an international village within the neighborhood, and how that manifests itself and the benefits of it. And we do recommend gardening, community gardening, as an antidote to all that toxic news that we hear and see every single day. such as the ever-widening gap in politics and the bad news out of the U.S. Supreme Court and that depressing war in Ukraine and the changes in climate that have brought crippling heat and floods all over the world, and closer to home sometimes when there's a drought, even our own garden plants biting the dust, so to speak. And also the noise of the Beltline that we can hear from up there. But you forget it when you're gardening. We're going to be showing a slideshow to help our narrative along, and we'll introduce you to some of our international gardeners, some of the individuals. We'll explain how garden governance and community work promote to help us get to know each other. We'll give a brief garden overview, and then we'll talk about some of our special garden projects and celebrations that have provided bonding and a more satisfying gardening experience. Then after the service, you're welcome to look at the display boards out in the lobby, and there are also some binders that have more history of the garden. And then both Barbara and I will be giving separate tours of the garden, probably starting at separate times, starting about 11:30. So I want to ask you all a question. How many of you have a garden or maybe even a few tomato plants that you're tending this year? Yeah, I think that's about half of you or so. Keep your hands up. And now, how many more of you have had a garden but just don't have one right now? Okay, good. So you can put your hands down now. How many are in a community garden or have been? Quite a few of you. So in a way, we might be preaching to the choir. Still, there are some things to learn about our garden. It's got 88 families in it. It's kind of like an international village up there at Marlborough Park. And if you haven't been in a community garden, if you have a chance sometime, it might tilt you to doing that, or it might be useful to you in some other way. So let's start that slideshow.
We're starting it with a map. First of all, there are many gardens in the local area. Actually, over 2,000 community garden plots. 4,000 community plots and 47 acres throughout Dane County. This map comes from the Gardens Network. The Gardens Network is a partnership of Rooted, the UW-Madison Extension, Dane County, and the City of Madison. Rooted works with local garden communities all over the county. We have garden specialist from Rooted who works with Marlboro Gardens, and who is Nicholas Leet up there. He speaks both English and Spanish. Here he is attending one of our Zoom garden committee meetings. And Nu Tao, another Rooted employee, helps us communicate with our four Hmong gardeners. Already you notice that our garden is multilingual. In Madison, many community gardens are. This is one of the most important benefits of community gardening that you absolutely cannot get tending a garden in your own backyard. In a community garden, you meet people from all over the world. And rather than have your mind dominated by negative stereotypes or being isolated from the rich cultures of multinational Madison, all have a chance to develop appreciative relationships with people from other countries firsthand. That's what it means when we call this service growing an international village through community gardening. Community gardening is a good way to get out of your English-speaking silo. It's also a way to cement relationships with people you already know. My Spanish is not too hot. I've been working on it. We'd like to introduce you to some of our international gardeners. Please consider them prairie neighbors, since most of our gardeners do live right here in the neighborhood. Okay, here's Yin Vang, one of our longest Hmong gardeners, showing off a plant that she just harvested. She's been with the garden at least since 2006. Although the garden started with all white participants, after the Vietnam's Southeastern Asian refugees moved to Madison, they took up gardening here in the 80s and 90s and persisted in large percentages until the early 2000s. Some were from Cambodia or Laos, as well as Vietnam. We learned that Yin Vang and other Hmong gardeners, like our Mexican gardeners, love cilantro. That's cilantro blooming by the fence there.
Well, for years, starting in 2006, when the Southeast Asian gardener numbers were dwindling, Latinx gardeners moved into our area and found our garden. At one time, they made up more than two-thirds of our gardeners. Now they make up 50% this year. Here are Antonio Villanueva and Victor Sandoval. I think they're relatives. In the garden, we have several extended families, Spanish-speaking families, that together have multiple plots. Unlike most of the English-speaking gardeners, families who don't have relatives living here in Madison, we're scattered, they're here. A community garden can be a place for a family reunion, as well as a place to interface with people of a different culture. So here's Antonio Hernandez. Like many Latino gardeners, he creates ridges for his plants to grow on. It's a technique some of us flatland gardeners have now tried. I'm a flatland gardener myself. The garden is a place to see new ways of doing things and imitate them if you want to try them. Some favorite plants among our Latinx gardeners are tomatoes, peppers, tomatillos, and fields of garlic, and I mean fields of garlic. In the garden, you get to know the gardeners and even their parents sometimes. The husband-wife team, Jesus Avila and Maria Montenegro, show off their squash, and this was in 2020. Jesus and Maria recently invited me to share a meal with them in the garden along with Maria's parents, who are visiting from Mexico. These kinds of invitations are also what makes the garden like a village, just being invited on the spur of the moment to join a family grouping or meal, and sometimes being offered extra produce from their plots. I learned this while I was sharing that meal that Maria is now fighting cancer. And then as we talked, another gardener, a couple passed by and was invited to the picnic. And I found out that she had fought cancer the previous year. My heart went out to them.
Here's a father and daughter team, Jose Gomez and his daughter Alma. Alma always comes with her parents. Mexican families often bring their children who learn to garden from an early age. This family also invited Mary to a meal in the garden recently. Alma and her mother, Rosa Ugale, on the left, are in front, and her father, Jose Gomez, is in the white hat. To this meal, they also invited Antonio Villanueva. Jose has built a special structure which he can cover with a tarp and plastic to use on days they plan to eat in the garden. Permanent structures are highly discouraged. We believe that for these Mexican gardeners, their garden feels like a home away from home, a place they can share hospitality like they would in their home country. We always feel honored when invited to share food with a gardener family. We also learn about their food ways through food sharing during work days and other events. Another benefit of a multinational garden.
So we want to highlight a couple of other Latina families who have made an impact on the garden as well as becoming our friends. The woman in the center of this picture is Angelica Munoz Medina in one of her plots, and she's there with younger relatives. Angelica, also from Mexico, served as our garden treasurer in the past, and she continues to come to help by coming to registrations, taking applications and payments, and communicating with our Spanish-speaking gardeners whenever necessary. Over her 8 years in the garden, we've watched her children, Adriana and Daniel, grow into responsible teenagers. At 10, Adriana helped translate instructions on how to mortar mosaics during a garden project, and you'll often find that the kids know English better than the parents and do serve as translators. Now, as you see on the bottom, Adriana has graduated from high school, and in that last picture, you can see her younger brother has gotten quite a bit taller than she has.
We've also watched Ola Cuevas' daughter from a baby in a stroller to an elementary school student. Olga also served on the garden committee for several years. Closer relationships can develop. Olga asked Mary to take photos of her older son, Angel, for his high school yearbook. They turned out really nice.
We have other nationalities in the garden, too. One family that's been with us for 7 years comes from Russia. Mariana and her husband, Sasha, and their little boy, Mitya, took part in distributing hay bales. We order hay bales that people pay for so that they can mulch their gardens. This year, she planted potatoes with her little daughter on her back. I don't think I've ever seen one of our English-speaking people do that. This family definitely loves the out-of-doors. You can see in the winter, there she's with her, that was with her son when he was a little baby, just a few months old. They walked all the way around Lake Wingra, took 3 hours. I think it was about 15 degrees. And sometimes they walk in the park with their pets, and Barsik the cat that's there trails along, and he catches voles in our garden. We appreciate him. Mariana served on the garden committee for several years, and her family installed one of the bulletin boards on the one of the sheds.
Surprisingly, this year we had quite an influx of Asian gardeners who aren't Hmong, Cambodian, or Latino, or Laotian, rather. There are at least, this year, at least three families from Bangladesh registered and are working their plots. Bilal brought his son to help him register. One of the neat things that happened was Bilal had not met the other Bangladeshi folks until he came to the garden and somebody pointed out that, or suddenly realized that they were speaking the same language and said, hey, look over there. So now they're friends. Bilal is quite a hit in the garden. As he rides on his bike, he shouts, how are you? Other gardeners respond. Percy, our grounds person at Wright, eased his way in by paying for his plot. Other gardeners have shared extra plants with Bilal. It's touching to see how gardeners take care of each other. By the way, our fee structure is at four different levels depending on the number of people in the household and the annual income of the entire household. We have gardeners at every price level, which shows that people from different economic levels are in the garden also. This is another of our new Asian couples.
A Chinese gardener is new this year, too. Spring Sun, on the left, brought nut brittle to a work day and offered some to our treasurer, Amy Bogan, before laying it out on the table for everybody. I've particularly enjoyed getting to know Spring. She's good at giving compliments. I keep wondering if this is in part because in Chinese culture, older people are revered more than they are in European-derived cultures. We find that it helps to be outgoing if you want to get the most out of learning to know other gardeners. Bringing food to share is also encouraged, and we all enjoy that ethnic food. Gardeners get an hour of work credit for the food, plus compliments.
And boy, do we appreciate that. We had some really good stuff this last time. The community, or lest you think that the younger English-speaking gardeners aren't family-minded, here's a photo that shows otherwise. Here are three generations, Joe Kelly, her grandchild Rhea, and Rhea's mother Sol. Sol's husband Nathan is standing. Joe is on our management committee. A community garden is also like a village because we have our own government, the garden committee. That helps the garden run smoothly. Being on the garden committee, you get to know other people pretty well, just like at Prairie when joining a small group makes for stronger bonds. Because of COVID-19, the Marlboro Garden Management Committee began meeting on Zoom in 2020. The committee meets monthly, and most of us also come to monthly work days. Committee work consumes countless hours. Spring Sun is the top left here, met with us on May 2nd, but decided that she'll wait to join us on the committee, that is. The rest of us are the most active members of the garden. Since Mary started the garden, she's keen to help it keep running on an even keel. She's a tough taskmaster, let me tell you. Amy Bogan, on her right, has taken over the treasurer's job from Mary this year. Collecting fees, paying expenses, and keeping records is a big job, but it really helps to learn who the other gardeners are. Amy was quite a spark plug in organizing our 50-year anniversary of the garden that was held on September 11th last year. She wrote a poem for Mary that then had to be translated into Spanish, too. It was really wonderful, but she did all that on her own. She just read it to the rest of us. Of course, secret to Mary. And in the middle of the picture is Percy Mather, our grounds manager, and then Joe Kelly, who is interested in improving the soil. At the bottom is Tom Hickey. He loves plant research and works at the UW. In our garden, he's in charge of the compost pile that grows to mammoth size during the year as gardeners bring their weeds and other garden waste to the pile. Turning the compost is a monthly job that brings gardeners together. It's a huge job because it's huge.
Well, and we found out that Tom Hickey can do the work of about 10 people. Like one night he was turning the compost and he did what like maybe five people would have done in 2 hours on a work day. It's amazing. So community work and work days are really paramount to growing relationships in the garden. This is a group here that the past few years has staked the tilled part of the garden into plots. And you have to have lots of cooperation for that, to take the measurements, drive the corner stakes, and then put the name stakes in the right place. Obviously, this picture was taken during COVID-19. Actually, it was taken in 2020. Gardeners are required to do 2 hours of community work per rented plot. This group of Latinx families responded when asked to transport wheels of donated plants from my house to the garden. I'd gotten them from Badger Rock School. That's gardener Antonio Hernandez in the hat with his kids. His wife, Herminia Romero, has the middle wheelbarrow and another kid. I think that's Josefina Montes in blue. This year, we decided to make number labels from tin can lids so that we'd more easily be able to identify the plots. So Angelica Munoz and Herminia Romero were one pair who worked on attaching the numbers on the fences or the fence posts. And then gardener Robin Craig and her husband, Mark Wiskowski, were delegated to do the other half of the job. Although these pairs already knew each other well, they definitely learned the name of all the gardeners in the no-till plots since they had to use the plot maps to put up the numbers.
There's always mowing to be done in the garden. The guys like this job. then everybody takes a lot of pride in seeing a well-maintained garden. And more group work, consolidating the compost pile, cutting weeds, clearing the sandbox mosaic. These group jobs bring gardeners of different nationalities together in working relationships. Now that you've seen some of the people in the garden, I'd like to give you an overview of Marlboro Garden. It's located in Marlboro Park, right over there, which is in the Dunn's Marsh neighborhood, which is where Prairie is located. And the garden occupies about 2 acres of the 19-acre park. Our garden has the equivalent of 159 20 by 20 plots altogether. 49 of them are tilled by tractor every spring. The other 110 are what we call no-till plots. Gardeners who rent these plots may leave their fences up permanently. Bob said to me, I think you should take one of those plots, since he has helped me put up the fence. This year we had 88 gardeners. Spanish was the first language of 50% of these gardeners.
And so this is the locator map of for our plots, and it's always featured on one of the bulletin boards. And our garden has 16 paths that cross the garden. The paths are labeled by the numbered mosaic stepping stones. That's what those squares are outside the paths.
Okay, so we've had several special projects. Special projects and celebrations are another way a community garden can become a village where face-to-face relationships develop. Quickly, we'll show you a few of them with emphasis on activities from 2008 to the present. In 2008, a leadership grant funded meetings in which the gardeners chose a project of making mosaics. Mosaics are placed around 3 of the water hydrants. The rest of the mosaics are placed around the sandbox. These products are still beautifying the garden today and are admired by neighbors and their visitors who commonly tour the garden. We always have people wandering through. 6 years later, in 2014, a Dunn's Marsh Neighborhood Association secured a grant from the Madison Arts Board for gardeners and neighbors to create stepping stone mosaics for a garden sign and to label the 16 paths that go through the garden. 172 people were involved in this.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, that's amazing. It's involved in either producing or presenters for this project, and it included 6 days of group work to make and install them, plus a celebration. Like many other group projects, the mosaics contributed to cohesion in the garden. The stepping stones help new gardeners locate their plots and are also useful to our gardener monitors, who encourage gardeners to keep their plots well maintained. We watch over them. Mary's a flips her whip on that one too. This is just half of the numbers mosaics that are at the head and foot of each path. In the bottom row, Mary made the Dunn's Marsh duck for path 15.
Yeah, you're a couple ahead, Andy.
Okay, sorry.
That's all right. They've seen them all, I think, though.
This was the celebration. And Patty Stockdale made the one for the geometric path for number 16. 10 gardeners who participated in the mosaic project are still in the garden here in 2022. That's hard to read. This project culminated in a celebration with music, short speeches, and a group picture. The group picture was the cover photo of our Facebook for several years. Okay, we're in the right place now.
So the next year, we created started an apple and serviceberry orchard. That was 2015, and it's starting to produce, and I actually picked some serviceberries yesterday and ate them with ice cream. Lots of gardeners participated in planting the orchard, and maybe you can see Patty there in the purple, about the third one in on the back. Then we got $500 grants, we applied for and got them from Madison Area Master Gardener Association, both in 2020 and 21. We got the second bulletin board, which is on the left up there, with the first grant, and we bought 9 cubic yards of compost with the second, and that compost was gone in 24 hours. Gardeners know how to use it. And then gardener Joe Kelly spearheaded a raptor perch in 2021, and it works. See that arrow pointing to the hawk? We actually haven't seen a hawk capture a vole or a baby rabbit yet, but there are literally probably thousands of them in our garden.
The cat needed help. We went all out last year to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the founding of the garden. More than 50 people attended. The celebration included music, lots of good food, speeches, a piñata, and door prizes. Janet Cole, the alder for this area, who lives just right over there, created a commemoration for Mary as founder of the garden, which was read at the celebration and later passed by Madison City Council. It was good that she got recognized for this. Everyone had a great time, and we plan another blowout for this coming September. We hope that our talk has showed you that a community garden is a good way to meet and work with a wide variety of people from different social stratas and multiple cultures. Friendships with people of different cultures and positions in life can be helped along by the governmental structure of the garden, by regular and special events, by sharing food and gardening growing tips, and particularly by being friendly and outgoing in the face-to-face opportunities. Okay, now I think we have plenty of time for comments and questions. So anybody who wants to speak.
I'll tell that part, okay.
Yeah.
So as we have this discussion, we're always reminded to rely on the covenant of good relations as a guide to ensure that everybody has a chance to speak and are welcomed. If you're in the room and feel comfortable, please come up here because it's easier for people to see and hear you. And those on Zoom can see you then too. Introducing yourself with your name and pronouns is welcome. If waiting, you can line up here on the side. Otherwise, just raise your hand and somebody will come with a microphone to you. If you're online, just type something in the chat and the Zoom helper will read the question. So, any questions or comments?
Hello, my name is Andy, he, him, his, and I was curious if you two could tell us what your favorite vegetables are.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I grow and freeze a lot of tomatoes, freeze and can. So, and I, if somebody told me I was allergic to tomatoes, I would be crushed and I wouldn't know how to cook anymore. I grew kohlrabi for the first time last year, and that came out really good, and that's very tasty, just raw. Favorite vegetables. Boy, that's a tough one, Andy. I'm growing corn, lots of corn. So that's a real treat to get to be able to pick your own corn from the garden. And this year I'm trying, last year actually, for the first time I tried popcorn and beans to dry. So produce that'll last for a long time. Mary?
Well, I can tell you what the Latinos' favorite vegetables were. I mean, I told you that, and I think garlic and tomatoes and peppers are their three favorite, and cilantro. But I would have to name 30 vegetables that I grow, and so I'm not going to name any of them. I try to grow something different, one different thing each year. This year I ordered some special calendulas, which are flowers, from Baker Creek, and they're blooming already, so if you come on the tour, I can show you them. So that it's not a vegetable, it's a flower. Any other questions or comments?
Well, he comes up. My experiment this year is ground cherries, which I never grew before. We'll see.
My name's Randy Converse, he, him. I'm wondering, being a multilingual community, how you recruit people to such a fantastic organization.
Well, I think they recruit each other. Certainly with the Latino families, you know, we have, like I said, a bunch of extended families. You know, we have three Ocampos who are siblings, and then their brothers-in-laws and sisters-in-laws. So, you know, I think they hear from each other. We also, I think we put a notice in next door Duns Marsh and, you know, some of the surrounding next doors. I don't know how these Bangladeshi couples, families found out about it. We know how Bilal did because last year his wife, dressed in these long, colorful clothes and with her face partially covered, walked through our garden constantly, and we offered her tomatoes and anything she wanted, and she told him, I'm sure that's why he's gardening. But, you know, we haven't asked, we should ask people, you know, sometimes I do ask. But, you know, that map that was up there at first, people that want to get into a community garden look up community gardens, and that's how they find us. Yes. Can you come up?
Hi, Evelyn Kane, she, hers. I'm a member of a community garden on South Gammon, and I think ours must be a whole lot smaller than this one because I just can't imagine the kind of elaborate organization that you have. We have one leader, I think she's like worked to death, I don't know how she does it because she does, you know, a garden at the dog park and other things like that. We do have people from the Mideast, Asian people, but I really couldn't tell who all is there. I rarely see anybody else there, so I don't know, you know, really how that happens. But I guess I was wondering about all of our plots are fenced, so we don't have a till or no-till. So I guess I'm in the no-till part because we just dig up ourselves. So I'm trying to understand, that means you take all the fences and then you till it with a, I've never heard of that. Anyway, Jean, do you have any idea how many plots we have in ours in the South Gammon? Yeah, so it's really small. And then when the pandemic hit, it was really difficult. There was a huge, long waiting list. So I'm wondering if you had the same thing and whether you have to limit people instead of them taking like five plots or something like that. There's also some kind of a thing against not using them as truck gardens so that you can't go in and grow a whole lot of vegetables and then, you know, sell them on the market or something. So just wondering about these other regulations. But I totally agree. I absolutely adore having a garden, to run there every day and water and weed. And it's just a wonderful part of a spiritual practice, I think. Thanks.
I don't think I'll remember all the questions you asked. yes, we do have, you can't use it as a truck garden. We do, if we have extra vegetables and stuff, we take them to the food pantry, the one over in the Boys and Girls Club. So they take our produce every Wednesday morning, I think. Wednesday? Yeah. So we do have a limit to the number of plots people can have, because now last year we were pretty full, but there was way more did we do everything last year?
Yeah, for a while, maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago, we had 10 plots left on June 1st, you know, which is real, what are you going to do with them? So then we didn't
charge much for them.
Yeah, we charged $10 instead of up to $75 for them, depending on your income. But when COVID hit, all of a sudden, you know, the garden was full.
Yeah.
And this year the garden is full again, and we had to turn away maybe one or two people. Not we have a deadline of signing up April 1st, but not everybody does that. And we just try to accommodate those people that gardened last year and didn't manage to come in, we keep calling them up and asking, are you really going to garden this year? And please pay us now. Yeah. Okay, we have...
I was going to say... Go ahead. No, did I remember what I was going to say?
We need to...
Yeah, that's... I forget. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, one quick question for you since you got the mic in your hand.
Yeah, I have a question from Reverend Matt from Zoom, who says he'd like to volunteer to help with turning the compost.
Yay!
And love to meet anyone that he can from the community garden to learn and to help. So now you have a new volunteer with Reverend Matt,
we'll
apparently.
Hook him up with Tom Hickey. All right, it's... we're sharing our offering. Thank you for all the questions and for watching our slideshow. We're offering. We're sharing our offering this quarter with Wilma's Fund, which provides assessments and assistance to LGBTQ plus people who are experiencing homelessness, as well as support to prevent homelessness in this population. And our offertory is The Brownies from Summer Dreams by Beach, performed by Amber. Thank you. Thanks for that lovely duet with yourself. Kathy will read our closing words.
This is One Vast Garden by Sri Annadamayai Ma. I find one vast garden spread